It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel, Nick Roush and Adam Luckett. Happy to join you. Thanks to our good friends at Montus Hill Bank, proud presenting sponsors of 11 Personnel, your number one source for all Kentucky football news and views, just like Montus Hill Bank is your number one source for banking. It's a wise choice to bank local. They're going to put the numbers on your side because they've been in business for 128 years. They know what they're doing. They're dotting their T's, crossing their I's to make sure you got the best deal possible, whether you're just wanting to set up a checking account or a savings account, maybe shopping for a car loan or want to buy a home, whatever you need. Monticello Bank's got you. They've got branches all over the state, and they're conveniently located online at nbcbank.com. You also got the Go NBC mobile app to bank wherever you want to go. Check them out today, Monticello Bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Luckett, how are we today? Oh, you forgot to unmute yourself. So we're
sorry
off
about
to
that.
Bang up start.
I said I'm pretty good. John Calipari just kind of hit me with a curveball here, so I'm trying to figure out what that was about. Dude, but other than that, pretty good Thursday.
I saw that. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, we don't – just go away. We don't need to hear from you, Cal. Where's this coming from?
Number one, it was proof he didn't tweet at Kentucky. Someone tweeted for him. And either the Arkansas person is just kind of crazy, the tweeter there, or Cal is just off firing off tweets somewhere in Lexington with some of his friends.
That's odd. That's real odd. And like to sign it, it was just all very odd behavior. Like, yeah, I'm totally friends with all of these people. Like, it's cool. These guys are cool too. Yeah, it's just, I get it. You still haven't moved out of your house. You're probably, you know, the move takes a while. Lucky, I'm sure they got a bunch of stuff up there. Where was he, living in a condo with Brad and having earplugs in at the night because it's too late for him?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much living like, I would say, a 25-year-old lawyer lives in Fayetteville. You know, got a little bit of money, right? But you haven't made partner yet, but, you know, you're grinding away at the office, but you still want to have a little bit of nightlife there, and you're not too old, right? But that's how Cal's living now. He's pretty much living like Brad is. Like, Brad is that age, right? Brad is in that window, but he is not. But for Brad, like, how awkward is it to have your dad living with you? You know, you're still young, wild, yeah, and free a little bit. You want to get out and
you got to have a closet,
tear the club up a little bit.
You were using your spare bedroom for all of your clothes, and now your dad's filling it up. You know, like, it's really cramping your style. That was just, I did not expect that on my timeline tonight when T-ball wrapped up. I was like, wait, what is this guy doing? Like, why are we, come on, we're moving on over here. We got some football to talk about. Cat's got a new quarterback, and I got Cal over here making Luckett fire off tweets, which, by the way, the one on the official KSR account you put out there, just bravo.
I can't even remember. It all happened so fast.
I know what's
going on.
He wants you to know that he supports Coach Pope. He's also still friends with the Crafts. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, when you say it out loud, it sounds so much dumber than what it is.
I mean, that's great clickbait, Nick. I mean, in a world where that clickbait kind of matters for our line of business, I can't imagine you could do much better than that. So thank you, John Vincent Calipari.
Oh my god,
if I'm not leading the Google Analytics chart tomorrow, I just don't know what else I could do here.
Oh man, you never know what you're gonna get sometimes with this job. Oh man, and that was one of those where I'm just like, oh gosh. And like, okay, and also here's the other thing, if they came back to Lexington to meet with the Crafts. Is it so the Crafts can just like do the Toby exit interview and just like, here's your gift, and it's a rock that says eat it? Like, what are the
there's a story behind the story here that we'll probably never get, but I would love to.
But we didn't know there was going to be a story until he just went out and said it. It was like, there's the hot dog guy. Like, we're all trying to figure out the guy who did this. It's like,
my first hunch is, you know, I know Cal's not a big drinker, but my first hunch is, oh, he's just at a restaurant, maybe had one or too many wines here. It's just letting people know what he's really thinking. But I don't think that's it. So I don't know what it could be, like what this is about. And it's probably something very, very layered, because things typically are layered around John Calipari.
Yeah.
But
no, there's
of that.
No
we
simple can, answer.
We'll save this for sources' sake and dive into the
the
tweet analytics here.
We can spy drunk tweets from coaches a mile away. Like, we know our way around X going to give it to you. Which by the way, we need to find a Kentucky football burner account. Right, like Chin Coleman's, finding that was just a pure delight. Like, what are the chances Mark Stoops has a burner account?
I would say little to none.
Really?
Vince may be more believable.
But Vince, though, like, he'll just say it on his own. He doesn't care, right? Like, it's got to be a little bit more.
Yeah, Bush Hamden is very quiet on Twitter, and I was not expecting that from what I've heard about him. So maybe that, but we don't know him well enough, I think, to say one way or the other yet.
Well, we did hear from him this week, and that's because Kentucky added a new quarterback. They were trying to get a running quarterback, and one kind of fell into their lap because a kid they recruited out of high school from Owensboro, Gavin Wimsett, entered the transfer portal. They had a starting quarterback competition, and lucky it was one of those deals where the coach, the OC, brought in his quarterback from his old school, and Callie Akmanis stunk last year. He wasn't any good either, but he beat out Wimsett, so Wimsett goes on the market. He can play at a lower level and probably start or come to Kentucky and be the running guy. And look, I'm fascinated to know what exactly the pitch was, because I think you can play it from multiple angles. I know Wimsett didn't light the world on fire with his numbers, but Kentucky just got a Big Ten starter to be their backup quarterback. That's a huge get. So I think first and foremost, that's like, oh, okay, we can exhale a little bit knowing that if something happens, we are just holding our breath and hoping that Kentucky doesn't try a trick play on the first play of the game and it just blows up in their face.
We're in the slowest part, Nick, I think, of the college football yearly calendar. May, there's just not a lot going on right now. The portal helps, but we talk about players in the portal that are like rotation defensive linemen, that are like number three receivers, that are maybe reserve tackle. The guys added here, typically you're not getting impact starters. And so I think there might be a little bit of overthinking here. Some people trying to create a take one way or the other with Gavin Wimsett. I think just bare bones, it's just a high, potential high floor backup for Kentucky, a backup they could trust, a backup that could push their starter. I don't think he's going to start over Brock Vandegrift, but they definitely could come in there and push him a little bit and add some much needed experience, I think, to that room. And I think you got to look at it from Bush Hamden's standpoint. He steps into a situation here where, you know, we need, the offense has got to get going. We got to get back on track. And he's like, okay, here, you know, so here's this money. We need you to be here for 2 years, yada, yada, yada. But here's two scholarship quarterbacks. Neither of them you got to recruit. Right. And the one you're starting has no experience, 70 something career snaps. And the other guy was in the class of 2025, not too long ago.
That tweet you put out there of career snap stats was wild.
So just bottom line, he gives you a higher floor in that regard. And so you go and you watch Gavin Wimsett, you could see the wheels. Like in the Zion run game, that's the best thing he did for Rutgers last season. That's something Kentucky, they're going to do a lot. Even Bush Hamden kind of talked about it. They're going to run the quarterback this year. I think that's something that Hamden kind of adapted his scheme with Brady Cook when he was at Missouri, when they started running him, and it kind of opened up their offense a little bit. We saw him doing it at Boise with Taylen Green, who's going to be the starter at Arkansas this season. And then I think we're going to see it next year. They're going to run, or in the fall, they're going to run the football with the quarterback. So Wimsett gives you another quarterback that can do that. And it keeps, I think, Cutter Bowley on his timeline, just redshirt, develop. And then it gives you a quality guy who's played that you could, I think you, if that South Carolina scenario popped up this year, Nick, I think they would feel a lot better with Wimsett coming in the game. Where they, if it would have happened last year, even if Leary would, like Leary gets hurt against Mississippi State, right? And we don't know how long, if he's going to miss any time or not, they would have felt a lot comfortable. I think that he just helped let you feel more comfortable. I think in a long, if you had to go a long term, I think there's reasons to feel shaky, but in a 2-3 week period, if Brock Vandergriff turned an ankle or whatever, I think you could feel good about, you can put together a short term plan to find success. And that's something they, I don't think they've trusted a quarterback to go do that probably since Sawyer Smith, and they were kind of forced. Their hand was forced there because
and then
Terry Wilson got hurt in game two.
He got hurt right away too. It also helps. This is a year of a double bye. So if that comes up, you've got some built-in weeks there that you typically don't have to be able to help with an injury. But I do think that is part was part of the pitch to Wimsett. I mean, when they were recruiting him around the first time, it was in the middle of the Lynn Bowden stuff, right? He was a Wimsett was a class of 22 that reclassed 21, so they were just on the heels of it, and they were spinning their wheels trying to get.
He was 19 years old last year, and he was a redshirt his third year, redshirt sophomore. So he's still fairly young on his development curve from that aspect. Right. But you needed, like, last year was a big year for him, and it just didn't come together for him, and so. He had a choice to make, and he chose to come to Kentucky, and he'll probably get an opportunity at some point, but and we'll see what he can do with that. But I fully expect him to be the backup when Kentucky begins the season.
Oh, I just love the Bush Hamden dangling that carrot out there for us, though. Like, two quarterbacks at once? Well, he could take some hits off of them. But there is part of you, though, that looks at, like you said, when you mentioned Taylen Green and then Maddox Madsen, like that. I think he likes having one be a running guy, especially after that. I mean, that's what happened to him in the bowl game, right? UCLA used Colin Schley as the running guy, and it threw the defense off, right? Like, if you – I still remember playing the Fern Creek, the Creekers, and they had a really good ball team. They were 6A. We were 2A. Top 20 team in the state, and their big quarterback, who was a statue in the pocket, we just smoked, absolutely destroyed him. He gets hurt, goes out. They put in a runner, and we're toast. You know, like it just, you got your ears pinned back, and then all of a sudden it's whoop, 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 whoop. I mean, that can add a lot. So I'm happy it's happening just from a, things got weird there with Wimsett because he did leave abruptly. And there was some animosity out there, like on social media and stuff, when everything, all of my interactions with the kid was nice as could be. Everybody I know in Owensboro spoke very highly of Gavin and only wished him the best. So, glad
he also left weirdly, like how he left the team was weird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they like beat Davis County, like 50-14 on a Friday night. And then on Saturday, he's like, all right, I'm moving to Rock Piscataway. It was very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, that was odd. Yes.
But getting a chance for a little bit of redemption, coming back to give Kentucky some stability in the quarterback room, something that hasn't been there very often.
I will say his junior team was the team that beat that Frederick Douglass team in the semis that had all them players, right?
Yeah.
Jagger Burton, Dane Key, Wimsett, they beat them, and then they end up losing to Bowling Green, Jordan Dingell's team.
Correct.
In the state his junior year. So that would have been the COVID year, I guess, 2020. So that's a little blast from the past. But yeah, I think, you know, it's evidence of, you know, even if you lose a battle, you never truly lose it because they could always circle around in the modern era. And I think for Kentucky, it helps. I think we've just seen the overall – roster building of the quarterback room, I think, is just the much better. It's in much better shape. I think how they're attacking it, I think the process has improved. I think Liam Cohen deserves a lot of credit in that. It helps get consecutive quarterbacks drafted, Nick, you know, back to back. That helps a lot.
When I think 14 years without it, something like that.
And so I think, you know, you need a lot's riding on Brock Vandegrift, but you have a legitimate, I think, option if something were to go wrong or if Vandegrift just was really struggling or whatever. You have that on the table now where you really didn't. And if you had to go to Bo Allen as a backup, talk about like QB run, that stuff would be out. You know, you would just have to throw it out.
Yeah.
Where I think with Wimsett, you can run literally the same offense, I think. Now we have to see if, you know, are they blowing smoke up our, you know, what's with this, or is this real? We still have to see what this looks like. But I think you just go back to Boise and you go back to when Hamden called plays for Missouri, they're going to run that. They're running the quarterback. And that's something they're going to do. And it's not just like a change of, I shouldn't say change of pace. It's not just something random that you're going to run two or three times a game. It's something they're going to go to six, seven, eight, nine times in a 65 to 70 play game. And I think, you know, the way Hamden explained it, I think that could make some sense. Now, I think it would make more sense if you had just a bulldozer. If Wimsett was just a bulldozer, right?
Right.
I don't think he's that as a runner. But maybe
it's
that's
not
something
like Lenore Sellers or Tebow, you know, just some big brick, you know what house. He's a good runner,
right?
But he's not that. Yeah.
He's not Will Levis. Like, I think that should have been maybe a Levis package for him young in his Penn State career. Just let him go in there and run over a linebacker on QB power. So we'll see. So I have my doubts if that's going to ever maybe happen. But I think it's an option for sure.
But it sounds good in May. It's May, man. Players aren't on campus. You know, things are – a lot of people are on vacation right now. I know some coaches are out recruiting. They're probably doing the thing, too, where you recruit for a few days, but it's also mixed in with a little bit of visiting family, right? Like, a lot of these territories – Chris Collins is going back to Georgia to recruit. Well, recruit, that's his home, you know? Like, he's – probably going to see kids during the day, family at night, right? Like, it's a lot more laid back time in the month of May. But we still got some things to discuss. I did want to get to this question we got from the chat, we got Pressure Washer over here who just wants to keep it short.
It's Pressure Washer season, man.
Yeah. Oh, it is pressure washing season. Although, do you want to pressure wash if it's raining a lot? Because wouldn't the rain, like, I guess not. I guess it doesn't really matter. Unless you're staining a deck, then you wait till like it's the hottest day in the summer, and then that's when you do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the key. Do you have a deck or do you have like a long driveway or a big patio, right? Like where we're at, I mean, obviously when the house gets dirty, that's a way to clean it. But like how often are you using like we use it a lot when we had our patio at our old home. Now we don't have a patio right now. We don't have a deck.
Well, why don't you go build one, Mr. Luckett?
I need to go to Monticello Bank and get a loan, and so then I can build my deck on the back of his house.
But he asked, just football, basketball, how good are the Cats going to be? I think we're going to hit the elusive 8-4 this year, Luckett. That's probably what I'm going to land.
That's a hot take.
Yeah,
I like it.
Kentucky can never figure out it's 9-3 or 7-5. I think they are going to find that in between. And a lot of it's just riding on that South Carolina game in week two, which,
yeah,
you know, we'll get to later on, but that game's huge. You win that one, I don't want to say things open up, but because like you're going to Ole Miss, you're going to Texas, Tennessee and Georgia are your home games, but the rest of those out there are all toss ups. You'll probably steal one. I think Kentucky's good enough to steal one. This roster's damn good. And if Bush Hamden is just above average, right? Like, he doesn't have to be Liam Cohen in 21, but if he's above average, this is a pretty damn good roster.
Yeah, I think my working hot take is just that they're going to win one of these road games. I think the popular take going into the year is that they won't win a road game of the four because you got to go to Ole Miss, Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. I think they'll get one of those.
But yeah, they're winning at Florida.
My concern with this season is we've talked about the SEC home record. It's just not been good, right? And I look at the South Carolina and Auburn games. Those are the two games to me that kind of determine the season. And I think you can kind of tie the Auburn and Florida game together. I believe you got Vandy at home on October 12th. I believe you go to Florida on October 19th. And then I believe you host Auburn on October 26th. And then you go to Tennessee after that. That's really kind of the season to me. If you beat South Carolina early and you win win Auburn and Florida, you're in really great shape, right? That 8-4 is very attainable at that point. But you could also go 1-2 just as easily as you can go 3-0. Like that three game window there is kind of the season to me, and it's kind of hard to handicap those games, because what does South Carolina look like? What does Florida look like? What does Auburn look like? Don't really know. And so you're going to have to see how the year plays out.
Well, Billy Napier, I think there's a good chance Kentucky could cook his goose. South Carolina is going to be weird because Beamer did name Lenore Sellers their starting quarterback, and he's a guy who's built great, but he's done nothing, right?
Like he has a lot of fans in the scouting world. Lenore Sellers does, but we have to see it. And can that South Carolina coaching staff and their offensive infrastructure, can they pull all those great traits he has out of him early? But I actually kind of like that Kentucky gets him early. Maybe they get him too early, but I kind of like that they, because if he did explode, typically guys like that who explode, Nick, it's usually game 7, 8, and 9 where it's like, holy crap, this dude's hell on wheels. So I kind of like that they get them early, and Kentucky's always play well in those early games at home. That first SEC home game, they typically always play well. And so I like that game. But like Auburn, I don't know. There's some people want to talk high about Auburn. What do they look like? People are ready to make Cam Coleman the next Terrell Owens right now in the summer.
He's pretty good.
We'll see. He's still a true freshman receiver, though. Peyton Thorne, I don't know. I think they're going to be better. They have pros. I mean, they recruit well. And then Florida, they've got some talent. They got talent on the roster. But what does that talent look like? Like, what is the Lagway Mertz situation is going to be hairy at that time of year, I think, for Florida. Like, what direction are they going in? And so, I think those are the three games when you're looking at Kentucky season, because he can get really off the rails, but it can also stay. Like, you could also hit the turbo button if you were able to win all three of those, and then it sets up to a fun, I think, end of the year. You're on mute there, Nick. And also, Auburn comes to Lexington for the first time, I think, since 2010, and it's Keeneland. They're going to bring 20,000 fans, probably.
We got the Thursday night game in 15. Is that right?
That's right. Well, the first Saturday, I should say. First Saturday. But, I forgot about the 15 game.
Yeah, that was should have been a lot more fun. Kevin asked, over under at 7, how much are we hitting the over? I'm treading lightly. I know you.
Yeah, that's kind of that's 7. But that's where I would set it. That's where I would set it.
My regular season number. We don't do win total. Like, win totals aren't very popular for college basketball. I would put the win total for Kentucky basketball at 21.5. If you play 31 games,
21-10.
Yeah, I mean they feel like a 21-10 or a 23-8. Type team, but the SEC is going to be really good though. Like Alabama is pretty damn loaded again.
You're looking at a 10-8 or 11-7 conference record if you're going 21-10. I don't think they lose more than 3 non-con games.
Yeah, I mean, and that'd be
kind of hard with basketball. You have to see the schedule. They still haven't put the schedule together yet.
Right, that's true, and you don't know how many. Like, we have no idea how they're going to schedule either. Like, this, it's hard to judge. But
I'd assume they're still sitting at 18, but are they changing that to 20 at any point? Like the Big Ten and ACC have gone?
I think they're waiting at least this year, and they still haven't announced any of it. Like, Porter Moser, he's been very underwhelming at Oklahoma. That one dude can't coach his way out of a hat at Texas. So
I forgot about the cock enthusiast. That was one of the bright spots of last season.
God, that South Carolina trip. I had to pay a damn ticket from there the other day. Like, why that stupid ass trip will never.
It was the 11 personnel. You can count Stephen Peak on this. That was our trip from hell. The only good part about that damn trip was that sandwich that I had at what's the place called?
Groucho's. Yeah.
And yeah. That sandwich was stellar. But other than that, that trip was just anything could go wrong went wrong. Other than that getting sandwich.
That hangover. I haven't had a hangover like that in a long. Like, people think I go hard derby. Like, derby's a long day, you know. Like, I had a great time. I was mostly just tired the next day. Like, my body just hurt because I was like standing up and walking around for all ends and hours. But when it's a long day like that, I naturally like I just want to eat food and like drink water by the end of the day because I'm thirsty. You know, like
right,
your body tells you. But when you are a little frustrated because you got hit on the way to a road trip down to South Carolina and you just start just ripping booze, it got out of hand, man. That was,
we met some friends of the program down there in Columbia. It was a good time on Friday.
Oh, it was a great time.
Definitely paid the price.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, ooh, man. Whole buddy. That's right. Got me thinking about what's that hangover going to be like in Austin? You know, never been to Austin before. Here's beautiful. We need to get the expense, whatever. We need to stretch that out and go on Thursday. So we get a full day Friday to like get our bearings, you know, like
I was even going
to Friday to Sunday is too quick in and out.
Yeah. I was even going to ask you the Florida trip. We need to make maybe we could stretch that out Thursday to play some golf on Friday.
Man.
Because it's such a long drive, right?
Oh, it's a very long drive.
And we're having private conversations here on the podcast, but this is what you get on 11 personnel.
So, I don't know if I ever told this on here or not, but the last time we were at Florida, we were at just godforsaken college bars, right? Like, I mean, one of those where we show up and it's like, God, where are we at?
Like central casting, sticky floors, dark. Yeah. Lasers,
the Florida version too, so it's really gross.
I mean, it might as well have been called Swamp Ass.
Yeah, it should have been. And we saw a girl slip, fall down the stairs, and just snap her arm in half. I mean, just shattered that thing. And they like get up and like walk it off because she was just so numb to whatever. Florida, God, that place.
Billy Napier needed her on special teams. Needed some of that toughness that next day.
Oh, they just needed enough people in the field for special teams. Speaking of Billy Napier and crazy coaches, we've had some coaches just – it's supposed to be a slow time. Like, they aren't supposed to be stepping in it. I don't know why they're insisting on going out there and saying really dumb things about Nil right now. Because, like, that – just don't make headlines, right? Like, you want to maybe give the fans a little bit of catnip. You don't want to make any headlines, but we had multiple coaches make headlines this week. Spencer Danielson, who worked with Bush Hamden at Boise State, he was doing his rounds at like one of those caravan things and said that freshmen are banned from getting Nil and that they're going to have to earn it, which I thought it was very humorous that became a huge online story. And then all of the reporters did him a favor and deleted their tweets and let him backtrack it and say, like, well, if they want to go make their deals, they can, but they're not getting any collective money, which is basically saying the same thing. And it's not the worst thing, but hey, maybe just don't say that out loud. Like, do you need to say that out loud?
You don't want to go viral. Like, what's the point? You know?
Yeah.
What's the point? No, you know, you just gotta reason. Just dance around it, you know? I think that was probably a good young head coach, Nick, first time. I think that was just a lesson. Yeah. Oh, Boise State's a big, like, for a Mountain West job, the Boise State, they're like the Dallas Cowboys, right? They probably have a lot of media, I would assume. Yeah.
And Boise's the big show in the state. You know, Boise's a pretty big city.
Yeah. So I think that was probably a lesson for him because he probably said that to try to fire up people in attendance, I would assume, at one of these public speaking events.
for like some of those Idahoans are just like, yeah, we ever paying players, we don't never here to coach them up. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, he was just at the random Idaho touchdown club, probably.
Yeah. Well, and I saw some images of it too. And it's like, you know, the guys come out in their blue jerseys on. So I get kind of the direction he was going, but it's like, oh, buddy, why'd you have to say that? Another person who knows better, though, Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, in this clip, he sounds like he's still at Notre Dame. He forgot he's in the family in Louisiana.
Old man yells at cloud is what that was.
Yeah. Let's play the clip, Pete. You got it ready to rock?
We want to engage, build relationships. We want to develop, retain, and have success. We're not in the market of buying players. And unfortunately, right now, you know, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to buy.
The problem is, and I think our colleague Andy Staples made a good point, and you kind of said it off the top, right? Like, the people in the portal we're talking about are second-tier players that aren't going to come in and be impact starters. And that's what Brian Kelly's saying. But instead, he did the whole high and mighty take. Like, instead of saying, I'm not going to overpay for a guy who I don't think's worth it. Because that's what it was, is they were in on, like, they were in on the Michigan State guy. They were in on a couple defensive linemen. They needed to get defensive tackles. There weren't that many. There weren't that many good ones. They didn't want to overpay. So he's saying, you know, this isn't a we lost the guys. This is a we're not just going to buy guys. It's like, buddy, you were in Louisiana. They are in the business of buying people. They've been buying people there for 250 years. Right. Dude, it's Louisiana.
That would work at Michigan. That stuff ain't flying at LSU.
Oh,
like,
God.
What do you mean we're not buying players? What, do we need some more money? What's going on over here?
Yeah, I got some in the swamp back here. You need some?
What do you mean? Yeah, Brad Kelly has a moment once a year where he just says something dumb. I almost feel like it's an act. Like, watch me say something stupid here when we're going to laugh about it in the coach's room.
The thing is, too, is he's doing the interview with Jacques Doucette, who's he's like the number one, he's my LSU follow on Twitter because he's like their number one TV reporter. He's been doing it down there for
years. He's like their Keith Farmer. He's just been around forever.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, he's these are soft sauces. You got to remember, you're talking to the Louisiana Jacques Doucette. Like, do you need to like stick a thing of gumbo out in front of him to remind yourself that you're not at Notre Dame anymore? Because that was a fart sniffing ass Notre Dame response, right? Like that's what they say in South Bend. Like, huh? It's the Notre Dame pedigree, the degree, Notre Dame, huh? No, Louisiana is in the business of buying players. I mean, which, man, we really missed out like on the chance. Coach O in the nil era at LSU. I mean, that 19 team would have balled out. If he didn't burn out so quick, he was going to get another awesome roster, right? Like, they found a way to pay players, Coach O. Or maybe that would have been the equalizer for him. He couldn't pay for players illegal anymore, and they would have lost out on everybody.
Yeah, that might be true. I'm not too caught up to speed on LSU's NIL situation, but I definitely probably I think that was maybe a message from Kelly, like, what do you want me to do? You know, if we don't have the money, I can't go get these guys. I think digging into that a little bit, defensive tackle is kind of a big need for LSU. And I think they thought they were going to get some guys and they haven't. Now they're in on JVR Suggs, Nick,
which it was so funny that dropped. And then like an hour later, JVR Suggs is like, got an offer, which his recruitment's been unusual in that
these D-tackle recruitments, man, these guys, teams are just desperate for depth there, right? And so anyone that enters that's worth anything, like they're getting, especially a defensive tackle, like that, people are just like swinging for these guys hard. Man, like I think there's a lot of overpaying going on. So you have to be really careful from that. Like that Jermaine Lole, who is at Louisville, who's a solid player. But I would not say he's any type of difference maker. And he was even like kind of a rotation guy. I wouldn't say rotation guy, but he was playing like 30-ish snaps a game at Louisville. And he goes to Oklahoma, like he commits to Oklahoma and then flips to Texas. It's just like, whoa. But it just shows you like that position, how hard it is to find guys like that. And people are going to overpay to find because no one wants to get in a situation where they just can't hold the point there in the middle of the line. And so for Kentucky's kind of sniffed around in that market, Nick, and they're just not like, you just got to be, I think, careful with that because you want to add somebody, a body, but how good is that body and what is that going to give you and how much is that going to cost you? This is one of the suckier parts about all of this is we know this costs money and we know each team has kind of a cap space situation, but we just don't have any clue how much money the teams have, right? We have a better clue of what players are getting paid if you kind of dig in a little bit, but you don't know. So like in the NFL, you can track all that stuff. We can't track that in college football. So it's kind of, you don't know, like, if that's a smart decision or if it's a bad decision. Like, do they have money available or do they not? Like, you just don't know.
Like, Kentucky, Suggs said he's down to 4 schools. Kentucky's one of them. And you have no idea what the potential offers are from any of the schools out there. You just don't have a clue.
Guy's a Division II transfer. He's got 2 years eligibility left. I can't imagine he's an instant impact guy. Like, at any place he goes, I think the best case scenario is he would be a rotation guy for you. And it's just wild to see, like, that's the, you know, and that's his recruitment. I mean, you talk USC, Wisconsin, Kentucky, LSU, on and on and on. And then you've had Oklahoma, Texas heavily involved in this kind of looking for defensive tackles. It's just been a crazy kind of market here in the spring for them.
Yeah. No, you ain't kidding. I did want to bring up LSU some more, though, because we got some early college football lines. The one we got from Kentucky was comedy. But there were two LSU lines, three, really. The one to me, where I'm like, how do these – I'm trying to do the transitive property on all of them because LSU's a 6-point favorite against USC, but they're a 1-point favorite at home against Bama. And then a 2.5-point favorite against Ole Miss at home, which that one is that just Death Valley? They're just like, I don't, because LSU, like they got to replace Jane Daniels, you know? And the team wasn't exactly great last year. I know that they still end up, 9-3 in the regular season. The defense was terrible. They're breaking in new coordinators. I was just shocked that, I mean, Ole Miss to me is, I mean, they should probably pick to win the – well, hell, I got to retrain my brain here.
You got to get out of that method of thinking.
But like, wouldn't they – I mean, I know Texas could probably be in there now, but if it's classic East-West without Texas and Oklahoma, Ole Miss, I would be picking them to win it. So, like, I was just shocked that Ole Miss would be a dog to LSU right now. I know it's early and we're in May, but I was shocked that – Ole Miss would be a dog to LSU.
It's just Death Valley. I think if you looked it up, Nick, there hasn't been many Ole Miss teams to win in Tiger Stadium. There's ghosts there. So Ole Miss goes in there, you know, they're playing 11 on 15 because you're playing kind of everything that comes with playing there.
Damn Louisiana.
And Kentucky has felt that going to places, right? I mean, for a long time. There's just certain places that are just House of Horrors. I think that's kind of – LSU has kind of been that for Ole Miss.
Which, that doesn't make any sense with the Kentucky-Louisville line because, like, why – if you're Las Vegas, you're still going to keep making Kentucky an underdog in that game? I mean
– yeah. I think these are all power ratings based. And in the transfer portal era, like, when you're charting your returning production to make your power ratings – Louisville's just got a lot of transfer production that they're adding into this equation. not necessarily that they have better players in Kentucky, but they have proven production. And so I think that probably has a lot to do with that. Like, Tyler Shuck's got a bunch of passing yards, so that's an edge. Louisville has that edge right now until you see Vandergriff maybe actually play.
True.
So that doesn't really surprise me, but it is kind of surprising because that game is not at Louisville.
Yeah, right.
It's at Kentucky. So I thought it would be minus one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, flipped.
Yeah, you just put it like close to a pick 'em and something like that.
But these lines, Nick, are perfect kind of fodder.
Yeah.
Easy hook for people because I don't think Vegas is taking these DraftKings. I don't think they're taking this huge. I don't think they're letting people gamble a super lot on these.
Right.
Like these are out there more so to just talk to generate attention and get eyes to their sports book.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. Georgia 4.5 at Alabama, though. That, you know, that's one of those that on jocks they're going to spend 15 minutes talking about. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What one thing, I love this question from Caleb on the chat. He asked if we think DJ Waller is starting by week 3. And I just like the way you phrased that, Caleb, because I was, you know, a lot of rookie minicamps are starting, right? So a lot of these shows are getting old position coaches on the horn to do interviews to talk about these new players. And when Chris Collins was talking about Drew Phillips, hey, tell us, Drew Phillips a player. When did you know he's a good player? Yada, yada. And I was fascinated by the story from a Kentucky aspect because, you know, we forgot that Phillips was competing for that job with Kedron Smith. They let it be an open competition. They didn't announce a starter when fall camp ended. They let it go until the season. They split reps. And then week 2, Kedron Smith has a pick 6 at Florida. Kedron Smith starting, right? Like,
yeah.
That's – Stoops has been pretty clear. It doesn't matter how good you are in the portal. Like, you do have to go earn it. And so even though I think Waller is probably the – if we were handicapping it, he would be the favorite. Like, he is still going to have to go out there and earn it, and he's going to have to earn it as a guy who's played some snaps, but is by no means like a former starter who's walking in expecting to play right away and be the bell of the ball.
Yeah, I think the bigger question in that is who is the other outside corner out other than Waller and Max Hairston? Like, who is the next best guy? Do they want to have Jansen Dunn out there? Or do they want him to focus on nickel? Or do they want it to be J.Q. Hardaway? Like, who is next? Like, that's really the big one to me. Who is next there? And that's something we really probably won't find out until week 1, most likely.
The way that Hairston and Phillips kind of emerged, Nasir Addison fits that profile, right? Like, here's a dude with crazy athletic traits who's under-recruited in part because he played majority offense throughout most of his high school career. So he's a little new. He talks a lot of shit, right? Like, he's out there trying to fight dudes every time he goes out on kickoff. That's the one, like is there any guy like that that's completely flying under the radar? Because I mean, Max Hairston was he was flying way under the radar, and dude went out there and led the SEC in interceptions. So that's kind of what I'll be trying to keep my ear low during summer camps, and hell, maybe even some of that comes out during OTAs or something. I don't know.
I think that's a fair question. I don't know who that would be. I think Addison fits that profile, but like a guy like Quasheed Scott, what does he look like in the summer?
Yeah,
that was a guy they were really high on early on. Tyrion Nichols was a guy I was hoping we would hear some more of in the spring. Looked like he was banged up and didn't participate awful lot.
Correct. Yep.
J.Q. Hardaway, like, where is he at? Like, he's a big one to me. Because I think they got their top 4 regardless. I mean, we'll see if a freshman or Addison emerges. But I think in a lot of ways they have their 4 now. And that's going to be their 4 guys unless an injury happens. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. They spent a lot of scholarship capital really recently, I think, Nick, in that room. When you just look at transfers and freshmen. Jansen Dunn, Hardaway, Addison, Waller, Quavo Marshall, Tyrion Nichols, Kwaichi Scott. That's 7 of the 8 have been added to the roster in a calendar, in like a little over a calendar year. And Harrison's the only one that's been here longer than that. He's been year 4 now in the program. But like they've had a lot of turnover there. So where are they at? The good thing is, I think, at least with Hardaway and Dunn, they got some experience last year. And I think you like where Waller is on his trajectory. Like, to go in and have a role with Michigan as a freshman, compete for a spot in year 2, that's a good sign. So I think they're in a, I think they're in better shape here, and we'll see how that plays out.
My mic keeps falling out.
We're having a mute party today.
I know. We are having a mute party. There was one other interview this week where I didn't want to blow up his spot on it, but it is the first time he said it out loud, where Deion Walker, I mean, we've been operating under the assumption that this is the last year, and he said, yeah, I'm doing that too, but it's also because I don't want to, like, I want to leave it all out on the field. Like, I want this to be my best version of me, which is, I mean, it's a great answer, but, like, just prepare yourselves, folks. I don't want to blow up and be like, Deion Walker says he's not coming back for another year. But, I mean, that's something we all need to be mentally prepared for.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall.
he's a damn good player. He also, in that interview, was asked Rancher Blue Cheese. Do we know Luckett's stance on this? I think you're a Blue Cheese guy, right?
Depends on the establishment.
Hmm.
It depends what kind of mood I'm in. Like, Roosters has got great blue cheese. But, like, B-Dubs does not have great blue cheese. So it really just depends. But a good blue cheese is hard to beat. I'll say that. If the wings are hotter, I'd rather have blue cheese.
Yeah, it cools you down more. That's true. I'm kind of indifferent. Like, sometimes I'll just take a bite out of blue cheese and I won't know one way or the other. But yeah, I'm mostly there for the wing, unless they're for the yeah. Dipping sauce.
Ranch is a safer bet overall. I mean, there's bad blue cheese out there. But good blue cheese is really hard to beat.
No, there's no doubt about it. This is making me want wings too. I haven't had a good wing day in a while. And you know what? About the week before Derby, I just quit being healthy. Because I know I'm going to eat a bunch of donuts in the morning on the backside. I'm going to be drinking more than I should. So we haven't pressed resume on being healthy yet. That means I'm getting some wings this weekend. Look, that's what that means. We're getting some wings, damn it.
Heck yeah. It's been too long. Can't beat that.
Love me some good wings. Look, you got anything else for tonight? Is there anything I'm forgetting?
I don't think so. I think you hit it. On the head, nail on the head there. Got the PGA Championship coming to Louisville next weekend. Excited about that.
Yeah, because we're wanting to do these shows on Thursday, but I guess we're going to have to not do Thursday next week because we need PGA picks.
Yeah, we'll just see how the week goes. You know, you never really know. But again, Kentucky, I get a lot of questions about just the lack of hype maybe or the quietness. I just think they're taking a concerted approach. This is always a quiet time of year, but they have definitely seemed like they've tried to go under the radar.
It also seems quieter compared to Kentucky basketball when you're getting a whole damn new team, you know?
Yeah, but they were just in the news cycle a lot more. And a lot of that was just QB driven with Levis and Leary. Like, those guys got a lot of preseason attention. You know, where Deion Walker is in the draft, like, he's in the draft cycle now, but a D tackle doesn't drive that like a quarterback would.
Exactly.
And Leary was a top 10 to top 5 prospect overall in the portal last year. So there was some, there was some extra oomph buzz with him. And there's not this year. But I also think, Nick, I think that's probably a concerted effort for them not to.
Yeah.
hype up the team too much. Like this time last year, we had heard from head coach, offensive coordinator, yada yada yada, that they were super pumped and jacked up about what they're going to be.
Yeah,
we heard that the last 2 years, really. And we haven't heard any of that this year, other than Mark Stoops at spring practice repeatedly saying he really likes his team and how they go about their business. But other than that, there's definitely some flying under the radar, I think, going on.
And that there was another Deion quote when he's talking about Brock Vandegrift. And he's like, he's a guy who, you know, if you've had a bad day, he's going to come up to you and try to make you smile. Like, he's very positive. And he's like, we need that from our quarterback, which I thought really said something, you know. Like, I think that speaks volumes. So that's part of it. It's also like this week was the first week that we really started getting talking season stuff too, where like you're starting to see the national guys do their summer radio topics and all that. So
top 25s rolling out.
Yeah. It'll be rocking and rolling before too long, but we're going to get rocking and rolling out of here. We really appreciate you all joining us each and every week on 11 Personnel, where Kentucky football never stops. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger-ing.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.